Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Here tonight, Jake Moody. Just met his teammates, comes in, no sweat, gets it done. Welcome into Bet Sweats. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you. Heisman and Watch per usual on Tuesdays coming up in 20 minutes. We'll take a look at the MLB playoff picture. Things are changing and certainly moving in the Seattle direction. A very popular play right after the trade deadline. And they put themselves in a fantastic spot. We'll look at other futures across the NFL with awards, with teams, a lot of movement in division odds, Super Bowl movement, more last night against the Bills a little bit. Will Brinson will drop by, Corby Craig, two of our favorite guests, friends of the show, will be hopping in and on the action. Sam's mad. He's in a mood again. So we're doing this thing back-to-back days where Sam's in a mood because the Bears end up winning, like we all said that they would do as we ended the show yesterday.
You kind of saw it coming. What I did not see coming is Joe O wearing the
That's
Bears
right.
gear.
Fair
I
down.
Mean, you got the
Fair
Bears
down.
Merch on. Look at you. You eating fried
Bears.
Chicken for lunch?
Yeah. Bears.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to the studio. I'm here where I prefer to be at home. So, no, there's no victory chicken for me. But definitely no victory chicken for the Bills. And none for the Commanders. So here's what we did not have. We kind of joked around about it, about doing a dog parlay after all the favorites that were getting home on Sunday. You had I guess we'll call it a surprise on Thursday with the Eagles losing as more than touchdown favorites. And then last night, the two dogs end up getting home outright. I believe that was better than 7-1. We talked about it. I couldn't get there on the first game. On the Bills and the Falcons, and that was probably the easier cash. But I don't think anybody had the better quarterbacks in the game. We're going to be Caleb Williams and Michael Penix, and maybe people will argue about Jaden Daniels. I will not. I think the winners had the better quarterbacks on the field last night.
No doubt. I had a buddy who had over in the first game, and he was feeling really good when it was 14-7 after one. Oh, I got 21 in the first quarter. I only need 28 more to tie, 29 more to win. And then it just screeched to a halt. 7 in the second, 7 in the third, and a field goal in the fourth. The game lands 31 after 21 first quarter points. He thought he was a winner early. He's like, oh, this game's going to land 70. Mm-hmm. 38, final score. As expected, though, the second game was better. I told you yesterday, I'm going to pick one game to watch. I'm going to key on one TV. And I did do Bears Commanders. That was a much better football game.
Hate the two games. Hate it. And then like in the corner of the TV, you go, okay, here's the updated score. If you want to go over to this channel, like, why are we doing this? Just let there be one Monday night game. And we're going to do it again next week. I guess some people enjoy it. They're trying it out. Whatever. So, yeah, we had the two games. 25-24. Bears win by the same score in back-to-back weeks. That's the first time we've ever seen it, 25-24. Back-to-back winners in the history of the NFL. And there were some shocking results. The line closed 5.5. We were curious. Why did it go from 4.5 to 5.5? No more movement past that. Pretty much stayed there all day on Monday until we got to the game. The shocking result was you had the Bears that couldn't stop the run. They did a good job against Kroski Merritt, oh, who the hell saw that coming? Everybody's betting him. People that didn't know how to say his name a week ago are betting on him for the props, and he doesn't do much in that game. And you had Swift come out there, and he was the Bears' leading rusher. He was the Bears' leading receiver. The Bears had no run game to speak of for a month. Then they come out of the bye, and all of a sudden there are these massive holes. The offensive line looked terrific. It looked like they made an upgrade over at the left tackle spot. We'll see once they play some better defenses with good pass rushes, something the Commanders do not have. But you got to credit Ben Johnson, man. This is a guy coaching for the first time, had extra time to prepare, and Caleb looked good. They outgained him on the ground, the number one rushing offense out there. I know it came down to a kick at the very end, and there are some turnovers that we can get into. And if you want to point to the turnovers being the difference, certainly fair. Bears were the better team last night.
Yeah, turnovers decide most football games, as we know. Yeah. It's funny. We break these things down for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And at the end of the day, it's who protects the ball. That's what decides 75, 80% of games. I felt good, though. Like, if you would have told me Jaden Daniels was going to throw for 211 yards, three touchdowns, 19 of 26, have a rating of 119, I feel pretty good about that. But the turnovers do decide a lot of these games. Yeah. And as good as Washington was in the passing game, they were very slippery, man. They were very slippery when the time mattered most. And, you know, they did miss Terry McLaurin. They did miss Noah Brown. Their leading receiver was Chris Moore, Paul Aspen guy, Chris Moore. Who's Chris Moore? Who is that, Joe? I don't even know who that is.
I saw Moore catch the touchdown, and then I'm like, wait, that's not DJ. He's not on the Bears. Who is it? I had the same reaction. I said, wait, who's this guy? Which Moore is it? And then they flash it up there, Chris Moore.
Yeah, it was a gang of misfits. Chris Moore, Lane, Luke
Debo
McCaffrey.
Debo did nothing. Debo did
had
nothing
four catches
all night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Daniels did what he was supposed to do. He worked around. He found his guys. But, I mean, they're shorthanded, but they also couldn't protect the ball. Three fumbles. The Bears had none. So, like, what are you going to do? If you don't protect the football, you're not going to win football games.
Yeah, that's the difference. And Jaden Daniels, a couple of those turnovers, interception. He lost one of their two fumbles. Minus three in the turnover differential last night. Like, it's hard to win when you go minus three. It's going to happen. You can talk about the Fail Mary, revenge, and all that stuff. That's what it came down to in the very end. I also don't want to act like it's fluky. Like, they're the home team. You're dealing with the elements. Rain was expected, and I guess the mist later on was part of it. We saw it with the fumble with 3:10 left in the game. But maybe you saw his youth there shining in a big moment. Got the ball, 3:10. Let's see if we can kill this clock. Commanders have the lead. He never has possession of the ball, and he just kind of throws it into the breadbasket of Bill. Like, no. Veteran quarterbacks, make sure they get the ball. If it's a lost play, it's a lost play. If you don't have it, why are you trying to toss it off to your running back? Like, that was maybe a little bit of his youth. You think a veteran quarterback maybe just tries to get control of that and live to fight another day. But they turned the ball over with 3:10 left, and then it's Bears. They were very smart with the clock. I can't say enough about Swift. That was shocking. He has been awful for them this season. And then he goes for 175 total yards. A lot with that one pass play that ended up being a touchdown. But I don't know. The Commanders, Daniels, his MVP number goes from 35 back to 50 after last night. That is a division that is wide open. We'll talk about with the futures. A wide open division because we got a bad Eagles team that everybody is chasing. And then is it like last year? After 6 weeks, everybody in the NFC North is above 500.
Let's give the Bears some credit, too. These are the games the last 4 or 5 years that they lost. They would find ways to lose close games. And in back-to-back games, granted, the bye week was in the middle there, they have found ways to win close games. I don't know if that's all Ben Johnson, but let's give Ben Johnson credit. He's put them in position to come out of these games with dubs, and they've done it against the Raiders and against the Commanders. So the Bears are 3-2. Everybody's happy. Nom, 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 nom. Victory chicken. It's all good. As for the Bills, let's go back to the first game. Yep. The Bills were 4-1 to win the Super Bowl heading into Monday night. BetMGM has them 6-1 now. And there are the Chiefs. There they are. Bang. 650. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. They're right there. So Buffalo 6, Chiefs 650, Lions 750, Packers 8-1. The Bills slide is very real. I don't think anybody in Buffalo thought they were going to lose to Atlanta. So this thing is tightening in terms of who's going to win the Super Bowl. Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Packers, all right there.
The Bears-Commanders game played closer than this one. There was no doubt. The Falcons, they outgained them by 152 yards. The Falcons have 210 yards on the ground. That was a concern going into this one. And maybe there were some Bills fans that were worried because they see that rushing defense. I'm like, we don't have it. And then Bijan went wild. 238 total yards in the game, 170 on the ground. And we can't, you know, Bijan's going to get all the attention here. Drake London was amazing. His number one receiver gets targeted 16 times by Penix. 158 yards, 10 grabs, and a touchdown. Wait, so this Bills defense is letting a rusher that everybody knew about go for 170 on the ground, 238 in the game. Their number one receiver go for 158 against a very young quarterback? There's cause for concern there, man. I know people are going to let's talk about Josh Allen and the fumbles and the interception. Is it like the Allen pre-MVP? Whatever. You're going to be fine with Josh Allen. He's going to bounce back. He's going to have his monster games. I don't know about this defense. And they were beat up again last night on the injury front.
210 rushing yards for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. 210. That is not a team as currently constructed defensively that's going to win a Super Bowl. And I can say that because I was sitting here in this chair in the summer saying the Bills were going to win the whole thing. You're not going to win it all allowing 210 yards per game on the ground. Not going to happen.
Man, that was a difference without Kincaid. I wasn't expecting that. Like, he's been big, and we talked about it on the show yesterday. He was listed as questionable, and how much better he's been this year. A lot has been running through him, but I didn't expect the offense to struggle that much. Yes, the Falcons' defense is improving, but, man, that was rough. Josh Allen, 180 passing yards. 180 on this Falcons' defense that a year ago everybody was laughing at. Don't have Kincaid. You have Cook, but he sat for almost half the game. Shocked by that. Are we going to find out about an injury? Don't know. Yeah, the snap count, he was like 52% on the field. That was surprising. Your receivers that you've been depending on, nothing. Shakur, 33 yards. Keon Coleman, 11 yards in this game. They need this bye, man. They need to get right.
Yeah, get healthy. Figure it out. Yep. Stop the run. Figure out a way to stop the run. Otherwise, it's going to be a long season. As for baseball, Seattle just going to slug its way to the World Series. 10-3 last night. I had Toronto last night. I'm like, oh, that's a loser early. 10-3 Seattle. They're up 2-0 now in the ALCS. And the Dodgers, the the team that I called the Beer League softball team, beats Milwaukee 2-1, a dead under. Dodgers take game one, and the Mariners up 2-0.
The 3, 4, and 5 spots all go yard for Seattle. All of them. And it's maybe not the guys you were expecting because it wasn't Cal Raleigh. It was the other dude stepping up. Polanco, Naylor, Julio, all hit bombs. Like, Naylor and Polanco are the ones that had the massive games, multiple hits, including a homer last night. So, yeah, I mean, maybe Seattle's a beer league softball team. I don't know. They didn't need much out of their starter. That's the case when you post a 10 spot. And the Dodgers game against the Brewers, that came down to the very, very end. We had the same situation. We can get into this, I guess, but like another situation where, okay, we're going to intentionally walk Ohtani to get to Betts. Betts draws a walk, run scores. This happened in the last series, and what ended up being a massive insurance run last night for the Dodgers. Exact same scenario. Let's walk Ohtani, get to Betts, and then you end up walking Betts, even though that wasn't your intent to score a run. Brewers get out of that jam. They had an opportunity at the end, second and third, one out, and they only scratched one run. They had a couple walks there after that from the Dodgers bullpen. So they certainly had their chances, but only scratched one. So Dodgers up 1-0, Seattle up 2-0. Dodgers an odds-on favorite to win the World Series, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Blake Snell was awesome, too. Eight innings, was. 10 Ks, right in Jake's eye.
Right after. And Jake did admit it yesterday. He's probably going to be good. He was really good. Joe O, Sammy P. We'll talk more MLB playoffs later this hour. Heisman watch on the other side. Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we do this every Tuesday morning. We're going to continue that because Sam is in a great spot. Me, I like one of my spots, not so much on the other one. BetMGMNetwork.com, that takes you to the Odyssey app. Make sure you follow the show. Check it out. Listen on demand on a daily basis. YouTube, Twitch, at the BetMGM Network. Subscribe over on YouTube. All right, Heisman watch. Let's go to the top of the board. Updated odds. Sam's happy. He's got Carson Beck back on top. I see a co-favorite situation going on. Plus 350 along with Simpson. You've got Beck and Simpson. And while we've talked about the idea that, you know, it's going to be tough for Beck to impress, at least this week, he's got a Friday game. So it's kind of like an island game where you're going to be featured. So eyes will be on him on Friday night as Miami takes on Louisville. Beck and Simpson on top. Third favorite, Mendoza. Plus 550 of Indiana. And then we get to the Ohio State guys at 14-1. You've got Jeremiah Smith saying the quarterback, 15-1. Moore falls down to 17-1. Reed, 20-1, along with Chambliss there. Maeva, 22-1. Gunnar Stockton, 25-1. A big opportunity to impress this weekend. So that's where we are at the top of the Heisman odds board over at BetMGM. Sam, first thoughts.
I'm nervous about Marcel Reed. That's the guy that I feel like has a nice track to get hot and maybe take this over if A&M can keep winning these big games, right? That's the one guy that makes me nervous. I was on the flagship yesterday, and Nick asked, you know, who makes you nervous? Because I've got Beck and Simpson, believe it or not, at really good numbers. So as one handicapper would say, I maybe have cornered the market on the Heisman Trophy. To have Beck and Simpson co-favored, I'm in a good spot. But who ruins it, right? Who's going to rain on my parade? If I had to pick one guy, I think it's Reed. Maybe Chambliss, but I don't know if Chambliss is going to play enough to win the Heisman. They got a big game this week too, Ole Miss. But those are the guys that kind of speak to me when you look at the board at MGM. It's not Mendoza. I like Indiana a ton. He was just okay against Oregon. He wasn't great. He was good. He wasn't great. And then the Ohio State guys have always thought they were going to kind of steal away from each other, like Sain and Smith. They're both very good players, but how do you separate one from the other? So I'm okay there. It's not going to be Dante Moore. To me, it's Reed or Chambliss. Those are the guys that scare me the most.
I feel the media falling in love with Mendoza. Like, he's really good in the interviews. If you saw the post-game interview after they won, like, you can feel it. I thought he was going to be a bit higher because we talked about that idea. Okay, if Indiana wins, how high is Mendoza going to jump? He jumped. He jumped a number of spots, just not high enough, but he does crack the top three right now. You're right about pointing out the Ole Miss-Georgia game because the winner of that one is going to jump up. It kind of probably doesn't matter what the stats are. They're going to jump up. Now, if the stats are terrific, they're going to take a big leap forward. But they're bunched up in that same range. It's a good place to start. Who are you scared of since you've cornered the market? I was thinking about that this morning. So I was looking at on ESPN, they have the remaining strength of schedules. According to their numbers, these are, you know, going to be the toughest ones. And I was looking at the tougher teams with the roads that they have, with the quarterbacks that have been loosely mentioned or recognizable names, right, with the Heisman. And I was going through those, and Reed is in that conversation. Of the names I wrote down, he has the fourth toughest schedule, which is not a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing, right? Like, you have these opportunities to impress in front of the nation. If you need to jump up and get into this Heisman race, if you're looking for that, looking for value, you want guys that are going to have a tough road because that means they're going to have opportunity. So Reed was the fourth one I wrote down. I'm just going in order. This is not by favorites. And I'll just throw them at you and you tell me if they have a chance. I know where you're going to stand on this, but let's clear the record. Of the quarterbacks that have been mentioned, Oklahoma, tough schedule, ton of spots to improve, but you're awful off the injury.
Stop.
No, I'm just bringing – Sam, I'm not making a case. I'm just saying that he has a lot of big spots coming up. Does he not?
He does, but he ain't winning it. Ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't think – I'd have to look back. I don't think we've ever had a Heisman winner where they have an awful game like that, right? Like, I don't remember off the top of my head if it's ever happened.
It's only because he's hurt, though. Like, I'm not trying to say that things were lined up improperly. He just got hurt. And I was talking to a couple guys last night, and they think Venables put him in a terrible spot. Terrible.
Yeah.
And
probably should have been
not
removed.
Only – to not only start him, but then not pull him when it was very obvious to anybody watching the game that it wasn't it, and he couldn't. Like, he was just out there whipping it, right? He didn't know what was going. He had no idea where things were going. He was just out there chucking it. That was a bad look, I think, for Oklahoma. But unfortunately for a lot of people that had good positions on Mateer, the kid just got hurt. I mean, if you get hurt, you're not going to win the Heisman, and that's what it was. If he's healthy, it's a much different conversation today, but he's not.
Yeah. After all that chatter about him, like, we've got to bring it up and, like, just say where we stand right now. There's a reason he's 100-1 at some spots, okay? The range is 40 to 100. There's a reason for that. So, yeah, that's the sentiment on him right now. I mentioned there's one I have a piece of that I feel is – not an awful position. He'd have to some climbing to do. Yeah, yeah. So they have a tough schedule moving forward. A lot of spots to impress. They go to South Bend this weekend. Big win over Michigan over the weekend. South Bend. And then later in the year, they go to Oregon. So if he has a good run here, USC only one loss on the season. USC, if they're in the mix for the Big Ten at the end, he continues to put up the stats. He's number one in QBR, number one in EPA in the nation. He's 22-1 over at BetMGM.
Yeah, that's a guy who has two really high octane games too coming up. Not only at Notre Dame, but then you go at Nebraska. If you win both of those because of the quarterback, dead on. He's going to elevate for sure. He could be one of those guys in that 10-1 range for sure. I mean, if they beat Notre Dame in South Bend, you're going to see that price get halved. And then if they beat Nebraska, man, I mean, he could just be on the elevator right near the top. And then you beat Northwestern at home. You beat Iowa. Then you go to Oregon. A 10-1, potentially 11-1. Well, you're going to beat UCLA. You should, barring something crazy in the water in Los Angeles. You should win that one. So, look, if you go 11-1 and he keeps putting up numbers, maybe that's a guy that I should add to my scared list. I didn't have him. I'm more scared of Reed because I think A&M's a better team. But the path is certainly there for Maiava. As for the Heisman poll that we brought up last week from The Athletic, so they have Mendoza number one. He's got 68 points. They do first, second, and third place votes. Mendoza in first, 68. Ty Simpson has 43. So a nice gap there between Mendoza and Simpson, which you just talked about. The media definitely likes Mendoza. And then Reuben Bain is on line three with 20 points. Carson Beck only has 5 points in this poll.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. Why? Why?
I don't know. Because he has a punchable face, maybe?
Like, the stats are there, too. He's sixth in the nation in QBR. Like, right there with Sayan and Stockton. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it, man. Did you want the on three one?
Sure. Yeah. Let's see what they think. What do they have Carson Beck? 11th?
No, they have him fourth.
Oh, okay. Same as the Athletic poll.
They go Ty Simpson, Mendoza, Bain, Beck, Chambliss, your top five.
Oh, Chambliss isn't even on this list at the Athletic. So that's interesting.
Huh. Might be in a week after Saturday. Could be.
So do you think USC is going to beat Notre Dame? Not can they, because of course they can. Do you think they're going to go to South Bend and win?
Man, it's just going to be a shootout back and forth.
Yeah, and the running backs are hurt too. That's the other thing. USC's top two running backs are both hurt. So if it's going to happen, it's going to be via the right arm of Maiava.
Yeah, I'm thinking very close game. That's what I'm thinking. Like if Notre Dame wins by multiple scores, that would surprise me a little bit. But I want to think more about that. But I tell you, with Notre Dame, the concern is always the pass defense, right? And have they faced a quarterback like this? Nope. So that would scare me a little bit. The over is jumping this week for a reason. So, yeah, no, it's going to be a good matchup, man. Looking forward to it. It's been a while since we've seen Notre Dame and USC both at the same time, looking good, and facing off under the lights over in South Bend. I want to throw one name that is off the radar. He should be off the radar, but I'm just asking, path-wise, could he get back into the conversation? Was there at the start of the year? The numbers have not been impressive, okay? 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I'm only asking because people know the name. Team could have success. We'll have opportunities to impress, okay? Talking about Nussmeier. Tough schedule moving forward. LSU only has one loss. Next 3 games. At Vandy, hosting Texas A&M. At Bama. They end the season at Oklahoma. So there's a lot of spots. If we see last year's Nussmeier, where, whoa, maybe he could enter the conversation. He's 55-1. It's a long shot, should be a long shot. Had 2 picks last week. Do you see a path for Nussmeier, or are you looking at their offense right now and saying, no, it's not going to work?
The path is there, but I feel like they want you to bet Nussmeier. They're willing to push him out. You know, you mentioned 55-1. I saw a 70-1 at one sports book. Whoa. So it feels like they want you to come in and bet Nuss. I don't think he's that good. I don't. So I wouldn't be burning any money on Garrett Nussmeier. That's a personal preference there. I understand, though, when we talk about path, it's there. But to expect him to beat all those teams, I don't think it's going to happen. I feel a lot better about Ty Simpson, you know, given the path. And obviously, he's one of the co-favorites. Look at that path. After beating Georgia, Vandy, and Mizzou, bang, 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 you got Tennessee up next at home. You go at South Carolina, You're home against LSU. You're home against Oklahoma. Then you play, for some reason, you play Eastern Illinois in the middle there, okay? And then you wrap up the season at Auburn. He made some throws in that Mizzou game. I watched the entire game, Bama-Mizzou. That fourth quarter, he was exceptional. And there were some Jets fans I saw on social, like, oh, there's our next quarterback. I'm like, oh, great, let's ruin his life. Let's bring him to the Jets. Yeah, that'll fix everything, right? That will be the answer. Ty Simpson will save the Jets. All that said, I think that path is reasonable. And I also, I like Bama. I think Bama against Tennessee, better team. Bama better than LSU. Bama better than Oklahoma. And Bama should beat Auburn. It was funny because we had Brad Powers on this show before the season. And he said Alabama was his team to beat across the entire nation. And then they lost to Florida State. And everybody's like, oh, well, they stink now. Maybe just a bad spot. Maybe just a bad game. Maybe a lot of things went against them. They've been very impressive, Joe. And Matoy Pearson, who I talk to every single week, he's got Bama as his number two team in power rating right now. Ohio State 1, Alabama 2, Miami 3.
One quarterback that I was very surprised, an SEC guy, where they are in the stats. And they're going to have a big chance to impress this weekend. Gunnar Stockton. Is that a guy you're concerned about at all?
No.
I wouldn't be either. I like six passing touchdowns. But I'm like, how is he this high in all of these numbers? He does have six rushing touchdowns. But, yeah, even if they win against Ole Miss, I wouldn't be concerned. Read Maiva. Those are the two. And if you're betting one, if you were to jump in on one, would it be Maiva just because of this weekend?
Are you going to call your shot? If you tell me they're going to beat ND, I'll jump in right now.
Let me get back. Let me get back to you. I think there's a very good chance that they do. See, I'm holding the ticket too. So, like, I'm a little biased on that.
I could jump in right now on Jaden Maiva.
What's the best number you see?
25.
Yep. That's what I see. Somewhere in that range. All right. We'll talk about it. I know we'll talk about that game a whole lot throughout the week. MLB playoffs give you latest odds, maybe some MVP looks for the World Series next on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy there, Joe O, Sammy P. The CS continues. We had a couple of games yesterday, so we have two Monday night games. We have two CS games. That it was Seattle clubbing Toronto by a score of 10-3, and the Dodgers survive against Milwaukee to get the NLCS going. Dodgers up 1-0, Seattle up 2-0. Sam, I think it's worth taking a look at the updated World Series and the pennant odds. In the World Series, I mentioned that the Dodgers are odds-on favorite. That's the best price that you can find. -105 after one game in the NLCS. They are -105 favorites to win the World Series. Seattle, of course, with a 2-0 advantage. Your second favorite at +175. Then it's Milwaukee 9-1, Toronto 14-1. Seattle -650 favorites in the AL. Dodgers $4 favorites in the NL. Anything, any particular numbers stand out to you?
Well, I am kicking myself, as one does, when his co-host bets Dodgers World Series, and he does not. Just like, Why didn't I just jump in? And Corby's going to jump on the show in the next hour. Corby's got so much 5-6-1 Dodgers. He told me point blank, this is the time. Just jump in, bet it. He was talking Teoscar at 100-1, Dodgers World Series, and I'm like, I don't want to bet the favorite. And I look at MGM -120 now on the Dodgers. They're going to just win the whole thing again, aren't they? Like, we all know that.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I think I so. I think here's what I see when I or hear when I talk to a lot of people about this. They're just hoping. Like, they know it's probably not going to happen. It's just something that they would like to see. Like, anybody but. It's a lot of anybody but the Dodgers. But what do you really think is going to happen? Like, yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to win. But I really like to be Milwaukee. I think that'd be a cool story. Or Seattle would be awesome too. Of course, before things got going, Toronto, that was being talked about. Like, they're just like anybody. It's like this hope of anybody but. But do the Dodgers have their flaws? 100%. Is the bullpen a problem at times? Yes. Defense, of course. But offensively, and there are just so many threats. I think it's a perfect example of what we saw a couple of times, what we've seen a couple of times so far in the playoffs. Okay, I don't want to face Ohtani, but here's Betts, and I got to pitch around him too. And then the next guy is no walk in the park because Teoscar's up next, and he's been on a hot streak, and he can go yard at any point in time. They just have so many weapons to throw at you in the lineup. It's scary, and they can play matchups all day as well, and they're just so much better than everybody else. They can win low-scoring games like last night. They can win softball games like Seattle ended up doing last night. It's just where it is, man. It's just such a smart organization. They're just following the rules of baseball. And it just feels like a lot of people don't like the rules of baseball, so they're trying to take it out on the Dodgers. So they're sick of the Dodgers, maybe where people were with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. But, yeah, I do think they're going to win. I'm not saying that you should bet it at -105 right now, but, yeah, that's what I think happens.
Well, give us an MVP then, because if we're going to have this conversation about how the Dodgers are probably going to win the World Series, and I agree with you, as somebody who has no Dodger stock, they're probably going to win. Look at these prices now. It's funny because before the playoffs, we were talking about Freddie Freeman at 40-1. Mookie Betts was 50-1. Teoscar was 100-1. Those prices obviously much lower now, but Freeman is 9. Mookie is 14. Teoscar, God, man, Teoscar's 15-1. I didn't bet 100. I had it. I hovered on Teoscar and did not get there at 100. I hate myself so much.
I bet 2 Dodgers before the playoffs. I bet Teoscar at 100. I bet Muncy at 100. We'll see.
And Muncy hasn't had a great postseason, but no. It's not like the Conn Smythe. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you do. It's just a World Series award. It's a best of 7 award. So those are great bets, man. Muncy now is 50. But again, he could win. Why couldn't he win? If he gets hot at the right time, he's going to turn it up. Blake Snell is all the way down to 20-1 to win the World Series MVP.
Ooh. I don't see it. Like, he's been on this awesome run. But the thing is, for the World Series MVP, for it to be a pitcher, we know the drill. It's probably going to have to be a starter that carries the team that appears in 3 games, right? Like, that's Mad Bum. What's his face with the Nationals? Strasburg. Like, that's what you have to do. I don't think the Dodgers are going to do that. Jake, before we get to the other side, as far as Dodgers potential MVP, is there anybody worth betting at this point?
I had only bet one guy before the postseason started. I said it, Kike Hernandez, 500-1. I put that in a couple weeks ago, 2-for-4, another double last night. He's been awesome. He's down to 50. He's at the bottom of the lineup, but I still think he can win. He shows up every postseason, and all he does is hit. I did add somebody over the weekend from the Dodgers. I added Betts just because if we're going to do this song and dance with him where they're going to pitch around Ohtani to get to him, Feels like at some point he's going to have a big hit and just have a home run or a bases clearing double. So I added some bets. Shout out BetMGM. They gave me like a 30% boost on that too. So I'm in on bets. I'm in on Hernandez. I do think the Dodgers just win. Over the weekend though, I was going through World Series stuff that I had, and I found a truly hilarious, as I'm known to do, parlay for futures that now only requires the Dodgers to get home at 30-1. This was placed on September 25th, which, if you remember, is the Seahawks-Cardinals Thursday night football game, where the room was all over Torrey Holton overs, so we went under. That was also Ryder Cup, so I paired Holton under, Europe to win, and the Dodgers to win the World Series. Completely forgot that was in the account, and found that over the weekend. So stupid.
What are the odds?
30-1.
Okay.
So,
Paul, yeah. What about, okay, let me throw one Dodger at you before we move on. Will Smith is 45. Is that worth anything?
He was great in the division series, and he was on base a couple times last night, too. The thing with the Dodgers is you're throwing darts. Like, they have all of these stars. It's just, who do you think is going to show up? Will Smith definitely could do it. Teoscar could do it. Muncy could do it. Maybe it's just Ohtani. Probably not. He's been terrible. Betts could do it. It could just be Freeman again. He had another home run last night. So he's hot again. You're just throwing darts. If it was going to be a pitcher, though, maybe it's the only pitchers I would bet with the Dodgers would be Sasaki or Glasnow. Like, guys who could start and or come out of the bullpen for multiple innings.
Glasnow?
And, like,
we'll hear about him famously. In 10 minutes.
Yeah. Forever. In perpetuity. But otherwise, I'm good on the pitchers. But you're throwing darts in this lineup. And if you can, I mean, maybe you just want to take the shots with Muncy at 50-1 or Hernandez is still 50-1. It depends.
Look at that screen. Ohtani's 3-1 for World Series MVP. The NLCS Never. Were one game in, and Ohtani's 3-1 for the World Series MVP. Caleb Rowley, apparently, too. He's up there, plus 650. Look, so that's what I'm thinking. Seattle side. I've got a couple Dodgers. We gave you some options if you want to jump in on Dodgers now. What do we want to add from the Seattle side? If we're going to make this assumption, of course, long way to go. Like, we're only two games in, but you see the price. It's Seattle minus 650 to win the AL pennant. Where do we want to go in this Seattle lineup? There are some value spots for sure outside of Rally.
I have one answer with a bullet.
Do a quick search. His real name is Caleb, which makes me hate him. I know. That is his real first name. I didn't know that until just now. Jake, you want to do 3-2-1? Because I have a name too, and I think we have the same name. You ready?
All right, let's do it. Yep.
3-2-1, Randy.
Polanco.
Naylor.
Oh.
You guys all went different, you idiot. I was hoping you were going to help me. Because they're all about the same number. They're all 35-40-1. And
Ken Griffey.
You all went somewhere different.
Ichiro.
Somebody took Polanco. Wait, so somebody put, what were the names that were mentioned? Somebody said Taylor. Is that Paul?
Yeah. That's me.
Okay. And Jake, you said who?
I said Polanco.
You said Polanco. You said Naylor. And Sam said?
Randy.
Randy. Arozarena.
They're all 35 or 40. I want one of them, but I don't know which one to
go. I'm betting them all.
3-2-1. Here's three different names.
I'm going to parlay
There's
them all.
Three names. All at the same price. Yeah. Arozarena, the leadoff. Polanco, you're four. Hits a homer. Your five Naylor hits a homer last night. Okay, same number. Suarez, are we scratching him off?
Yes.
I'm good. He's done Zippo.
Yeah.
I'm making the case for Polanco because he's been the dude. And the division series hits the home run, too. Like, he's just shown up in every single clutch moment. And he's in that four spot, so he's going to be in the position to score runs and drive him in.
Naylor, the five spot, that's the RBI spot, Paul. Why'd you pick him?
I feel like he's been the toughest out. Again, like, I watched more of that series against the Tigers than I probably ever should have, but it just felt like he was a tough out every time. And, I mean, again, he's in that RBI spot, and he's got the power, and he can go oppo, complete hitter, and you know, just it all kind of lines up. But it could be any of those guys. Like it, all three of those guys, I could consider, but I just chose Naylor.
I think we,
Sam, I'm going to bet two
across.
And then the winner's going to be the one I don't bet. I'm betting two of them, and the winner's going to be the one I don't bet.
Oh. Randy's going to win. I think we may have just uncovered a new segment. 3, 2, 1. Go.
It's good. We got a lot of segments in the hopper. Fancy talk. We've got 3, 2, 1 going on. We got a lot of stuff that we've got to work out coming up. Corby Craig drops by next. Joe O, Sammy P, BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.